really does. It hits the younger kids a lot harder than it hits. It's bad as an adult, right? To get a stomach flu, no one likes that. But when you have a Eli's what, 6 months, 7 months old, 8 months? No, he's eight. I think he's 8 months. But anyway, when it hits little kids like that, it's hard. And so he is. Yesterday, when I talked to Corey, he said they were pumping him full of Pedialyte, and they gave him some medication so he wouldn't lose it all. And but he spent the night at the hospital, and hopefully, he's doing better today. Also, remember to keep Pastor Chaz and Tanya in their prayers. We celebrate with them because of the decision their, Chaz's dad made yesterday to follow Jesus. And Chaz got to be part of that, which is just an awesome thing. And so that's so exciting, and I celebrate that. But we also need to continue praying for them because I know that's a difficult time of what they're going through. And then finally, Jeremy asked, I did not know about this, and we didn't get a chance to pray for him earlier, but Jeremy's dad is having valve replacement surgery on Thursday, you said, correct? So if you'll pray for Mr. Salsa, as I like to say, that would be Mr. Sasala, sorry, pray for him and ask for the Lord's hand to be upon him. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 6, please. It'll be up on the screen here in a moment, too. One of the things that I have often wanted to preach about is the offensive nature of Jesus Christ. And I started putting together this sermon, and everything that I, as I wrote this sermon, started going back to a Bible study that we did many years ago on a book called The Bait of Satan. Anyone ever read the, just show of hands, have you ever read The Bait of Satan? No one has read it. Okay, so this message doesn't, so what I'm going to say next, the next 3 hours won't matter to you. No, I'm kidding. The Bait of Satan is a wonderful book written by a gentleman by the name of John Bevere. And he goes on to say that when we become offended in the church, we are taking what is called the bait of Satan. Satan wants you to become offended. Satan wants you to be offended with other Christians. People get offended today because someone didn't say hello to me, or they didn't do this to me, or whatever. And we get offended because they looked at me strange. Or in this day and age, maybe you sent a text that didn't have any of the emotion behind it that you thought of the person receive it thought it did, and so we get offended. The offensive nature of the world that we are in today is really, really big. I mean, it doesn't take long for you to find someone being offended. Now, having said that, as I was preparing this sermon, I kept thinking to myself, is Jesus offensive? Because being offended in the bait of Satan is a negative thing. And what I say by that is, you shouldn't be offended. If you're offended, if someone offends you, what you're supposed to do, what Scripture tells us to do, is go to that brother and sister and work it out. Hash it out. Chaz isn't here. So, you know, you're the first one it comes to, right? No, I'm kidding. I won't tease you. But there are moments and times, if you have something wrong with a brother or sister, before getting offended, before getting worked up about it, go to your brothers and sisters and say, listen, did you really mean that in this way? And if they say yes, then you can slap them on the wrong side of the face. No, I'm kidding, you can't. You got to turn the other cheek, what Jesus says for us to do, right? No, but oftentimes we find ourselves being offended with people within the church that we should not be. Yet, we also find that Jesus is very offensive. Jesus is an offensive person. There are things that he does in Scripture that if you're not following Jesus, you're going to be offended. If you read Scripture, let me say it this way. If you read Scripture and today you are following Christ, when I say following Christ, what I mean is you accepted Jesus Christ on the cross for what he's done for your sins. If you have done that, that means you're a Christian. But if you're following Christ and you haven't read something in Scripture that has, quote-unquote, offended or convicted you, then let me rephrase this and say you're probably not following Christ in the right way. Christianity is offensive to people who don't are not in Christianity. Following Jesus and what he's going to ask you to do is going to be offensive in some ways because he's going to ask you to do things like when someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. He's going to ask you to pray for your enemies. Now, the last time I checked, I don't want to pray for my enemies. Why would I want to do that? Everywhere you go in Scripture, we find that Jesus is offensive. Most of his offense that that people take on Jesus actually come from the religious folk of his time. If you look and you read Scripture and you read about Jesus' life, who was the most offended people that that were to Jesus? It was the Sadducees and Pharisees. It was his own Jewish people, the people who were quote-unquote religious at the time. It seems that for centuries, religious folk seemed to be offensive or offended. I want to stop that. I don't want you to be offended in any way, shape, or form. But also, we have to understand that his message is offensive to those that aren't following him. Jesus was not only offensive to the people who wanted him, the Jewish leaders thought he was offensive, but then the Gentiles are those that were not of Jewish descent. So back in Scripture, Jesus made it known that the message of Jesus was not just for the Jewish people, but it was also for everyone, the Gentiles included in that. We would all be considered Gentiles today under that Scripture, unless you're of Jewish descent. This was offensive to the Jewish people because Jesus was including people that were not the chosen people. They weren't the people that were brought through the Red Sea, who lived through the Passover, lived all of this. In order to do that, you weren't, let me go a little bit deeper. You weren't circumcised if you're a Gentile, right? And so that's even taking that step further. But yet the Gentiles were offended at Jesus because when Jesus talked to them, he said, you have to change. Your life should be different. See, everywhere Jesus went, there seemed to be ruffled feathers on every side. The only people that were not offended at Jesus were the ones that he healed and that he loved and that he forgave of their sins. It's interesting to me as we read these stories of Jesus. We understand that Jesus did offend people. His message was offensive. Yet our question for all of us today is, how offensive is your Christianity? Now, I'm not telling you to go out and pick fights, right? Before you get up and leave, I'm not telling you to go out and find someone and say, listen, I don't like what you're saying, and so therefore I'm offended, and so we're going to be offended. I don't know who's checking in back there, but we now have labels printing out and falling on the ground back there. So I'm offended at that printer. No. The truth of the matter is, though, is that everywhere you go, the message of Christ was offensive. Can I be honest with you for a moment? My measurement of preaching, I love when people come up and say, hey, that was a great message. I really enjoyed that. That's wonderful. I'm glad that people enjoy my message. But you know what I find more important is if someone comes up to me and says, I'm really offended by the message you just preached. Good. That must mean I'm doing a job, and I'm doing my job well, or doing my job, the right job that I'm doing. Because see, if I'm up here just sharing everything that you want to hear, if I'm just sitting up here making things rosy and making things, passing out suckers and making everything beautiful and more rocking on golden streets and all of those things, I'm not doing my job. Because the gospel message should be offensive to those who are not following the gospel. You should walk away from here going, that's a tough message to hear. And we're going to hear about and read about that in a moment. So let's pause and pray. Let's jump in and let's learn about how Jesus was offensive. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you because you deserve that and so much more. Lord, your message came across as an offensive message to the people who were religious, to the people who were Gentiles, to everyone, Father. To those that didn't understand this word conviction or being offended, Father, your message was difficult to hear. Some even walked away. Lord, I pray today that you just help us to understand that you're not trying to offend us to push us away, but you're offending the sin in our life, Father, and calling us to reach higher, to go higher, to be better than what we were and what we are. Lord, help us today as we walk down this path to follow you, to be like you, to live like you, to love like you. But most importantly, Father, help us to learn from you, to change, and not for us to stay the same, to not become stagnant in our growth, but to continue to grow closer to you. Lord, help us today. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, Father, and that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, come and open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts to hear from you and what you would have to say to us. Speak to us today, Holy Spirit, we ask you. Help us on this path that we're walking. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 6, verses 53 through 66. Very interesting story. Let's read it. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Let's pause there before we even move on. Let me ask you a question. How many of you as Christians signed up to be cannibals? No one did, right? Either did I. Let me tell you, I didn't sign up to be a cannibal. This isn't the Donner family, right? The Donners pass out. You know, okay, sorry. I had a great joke, and I didn't start my message with a joke today. Oh, well, that's okay. We'll move on. I'll live. No one signed up to be cannibals, but Jesus is sharing this message to his disciples. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." What is he talking about? Well, he goes on, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." Now, Jesus just doubled down on this first statement. Could you imagine being a disciple of Jesus? You've walked with Jesus all of these years. You've seen him do miracles. You've seen him do all of these great things. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, he says, "You got to be a cannibal to live." Wait, did I hear this right? My rabbi, my teacher, the man who has healed all of these people, am I hearing this correctly? The very next verse, he says, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of my Father. So whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's teaching the people around him. He's saying these things. And this is a very hard message. I mean, just, again, imagine, place yourself in that location. Hearing these words from Jesus has to be difficult. Now, hopefully, the disciples are smart enough to understand that he has been using parables his whole entire ministry. So hopefully, they're stepping back going, "Wait, I think that this may be a parable. I think this may be a direct correlation to something that he is sharing with." He goes on to say, "When many of his disciples heard it, they said, 'This is hard saying. Who can listen to it?' But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, 'Do you take offense at this?'" Jesus is asking his own people, "Do you take an offense?" His own disciples, the ones that have been living with him, the ones that have been walking with him. The disciples are talking to each other, saying, "This is a hard thing to hear." And then Jesus knows that they're grumbling. Jesus knows. Isn't it funny? Let's keep a secret from Jesus. Nope, that doesn't happen. Sorry. How many times do we as Christians try to keep secrets from Jesus? Let's be honest. "God, I know you don't look at that." Yeah, well, he sees everything, okay? And he knows when you're even grumbling, because he knew the disciples. And so he asked them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe," for Jesus knew from the beginning who those were and who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. One of the saddest statements in all of Scripture that you can read. Jesus is speaking the truth to the people. He's sharing with them, and he's sharing this very offensive message. Now, Cannibalism is very offensive no matter where you're at, right? But this would have been the end all of everything. For Jesus to stand up in a synagogue, for Jesus to stand up to his disciples and the Jewish people and say, "You got to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." That would have been the end of everything. And in fact, it was, because this verse 66, interesting that John uses the last 66. I'm not a number guy, but let's just say that that's not a good number, right? After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. His disciples are turning away. His disciples are turning away from Jesus. His disciples are walking away from him because they couldn't understand this message. See, Jesus was offensive even if that offends you. Even if it offends you that Jesus is offensive, he's still offensive. Let me explain this for a moment. And I said before, for those that have read the Bait of Satan book, you know, this message offensive is very difficult to grab a hold of. But Jesus is convicting. Let me use that word. His message should be convicting. If you come to church every Sunday and you listen to the messages that I preach or Corey preaches or Chaz preaches, if you listen to these worship songs that are sung and you don't get convicted at all in your heart, then there's something wrong with you. Not with the message, not with the preaching, not with the music that we sing. The simple idea is that his message of Christianity, how can someone who is perfect not offend us who is far from perfect? Do you understand that? Jesus is perfect. He is as perfect as they come. No sin. There's nothing that he has ever done wrong. He is perfect. And so for him to call us up higher, for us to be called to a different position, that means he's going to offend us because he's going to say something in scripture that you're going to say, "I don't like that because that's too comfortable for me." You're asking for me to get uncomfortable. You're asking for me to do something that isn't right, that I don't like. When Jesus asked his disciples to eat of his flesh and to drink of his blood, what he's talking about is obviously what we celebrate every Sunday, every first Sunday of the month. It's communion. He's talking about even deeper than just that idea of communion. No, what he's talking about is that unless you digest me, unless you accept me, unless you see my body being broken on the cross, unless you see my blood being poured out for you, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. The truth is Jesus' message is not all roses, it's not all candy, it's not all beautiful things. The church, I think, in too many ways has made the message of Jesus, just come to Jesus and everything will be all right. No, guess what? It's not that way. If you come to Jesus, we want you to come to Jesus because we want eternity. We want you to spend eternity not in hell. We don't want you to spend eternity for your sins in hell. We want you to spend eternity in heaven. But the truth of the matter is that the church specifically has made the message of Jesus such an easy, we've made it all inclusive. It's not all inclusive. Jesus says that many will come, many will not come to know him. Jesus used his own words. He said, many of the people inside churches today that are calling on the Lord, Lord, won't be in heaven according to what Jesus says. That's a difficult message. Wait a minute, you mean I come to church, I follow Jesus, and I'm not, how's that possible, Jesus? Well, you didn't eat of my flesh, and you didn't drink of my blood. Today, we have this ability in our lives to do something different. The same Jesus that calls the weary to come to him for rest is the one who demands we deny ourselves and follow him to our deaths. Do you imagine that? Listen, today we say, oh, come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a wonderful thing. Come and accept Jesus on the cross and for what he did, because he died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for your sins. There's no other payment for you but his death on the cross. And all of these things, those are wonderful things. What if we stopped there and said, okay, yet, guess what? You're going to have to die to yourself. You're going to have to pick up your cross and carry it every day. Wait, didn't Jesus carry my cross for me? Yeah, he did, but guess what? He also tells you to pick up your cross and carry it daily. Jesus also tells you to be humble. Jesus also tells you to humble yourself before him. He also tells you to do all of these things. Jesus says he is the one way to God, the truth, the life. No one comes to God except through him. His way is narrow, the gate is small. He is the bread of heaven. Unless you consume him, you will perish. That's exactly what John chapter 6 is telling us. That we have to consume Jesus. We have to accept him. Many of the people could not accept that message because they wanted something to say that Jesus is here for everyone. Guess what? Is Jesus here for everyone? Yes, he died on the cross for every single person. Does that mean every single person is going to follow him? Nope. Today, many people are taking scripture and they're trying to make it open to everyone. It is open to everyone, but the gate is narrow. It's a narrow gate for you to get into heaven. Jesus as he's speaking another parable, he says it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. Most of the people in here would probably go, well, that's good because I'm not rich. I'm good. I'm good to go, right? Well, let's be honest. Every single one of us in this room is better than probably about 95% of the world's population today. There's many people in other countries that will look at you and say, you're very rich on what you have. So with one hand, Jesus is beckoning everyone to come to him, everywhere, to come to him. Come, my way is easy, my yoke is easy, he says. You know what a yoke is? A yoke is the little wooden thing that they used to put on cows and oxen and stuff like that, and it would bind these two together, and it was a heavy thing to wear, and it was what they would use to plow fields and those types of things. What Jesus is saying, he's like, my yoke is easy, my way is light. And he's beckoning everyone to come. But yet then at the same time he's saying, have you counted the cost? Unless you repent, you will perish. Are you willing to give up your rights and bow your knee? In both ways, Jesus is saying the path is open. It's really your choice. See, Jesus is offensive to those who are offended at the message. If you're not offended at the message, then Jesus is not offensive to you. And what I mean by that is if you're willing to humble yourself, if you're willing to let go of your humbleness and your pride and lay it down and say, I'm not going to go there, then and I'm going to accept the correction that I need from Jesus, that his way is not offensive. It's only offensive when we have something that we love and we are hanging on to so tightly that says, I'm not going to let go of this. You've asked me to take one step too far, Jesus. And what that one step is, I can't tell you. Because it's individually different for each and every one of you. But when we come to that place where we let go of that one thing, when we let go of that thing and we say, I will accept and I will humble myself before you because you are king, I am not. You are perfect, I am not. And so therefore, I am willing to hear all of these things. I'm willing to change my life and to do what you call me to do. That's when our life in Christ really begins. That's when our life in Christ really takes off. Jesus was both inclusive and exclusive, and that offended everyone. Jesus was, Jesus calls Matthew, a tax collector, into his, as a disciple. You know how offensive that would have been to the Jewish people? A tax collector. Matthew is a Jew who abandoned his people, who went against his people and said, I don't care who you are, I don't care that you're my people, I'm going to go and I'm going to not only collect taxes for Rome, but I'm going to charge you even more so that I can live a luxurious lifestyle. Jesus not only had Matthew as a disciple, but he also went and had dinner with other tax collectors. Jesus had a prostitute come to him and bow to his feet, pour perfume on his feet, and wipe her hair all over his feet. That was offensive to the Jewish people. Why is this guy who thinks he's God, who says he's God, going and spending time with these people who are not worthy? Jesus goes into the town square and he goes up to the lepers and he says to the lepers, first of all, do you understand that very statement? He went to the lepers. He went to the very people that no one else. A leper would literally have to walk down the street going, unclean, unclean. because he had to announce, he or she had to announce their coming. He had to announce that they were unclean. So that everyone, just imagine if we had, if we would have done that in COVID, right? COVID, COVID! Everyone parts the waters, right, as you walk in. Jesus would have been at the bedside of those that had COVID. Because he went right up to the people that had leprosy. Went right up to them and said, listen, you can be healed. He wasn't afraid. All the other Jewish people were offended at Jesus because he did that. That was a no-go. That was a Levitical law, Jay, that you don't spend time with people who are unclean. But Jesus was inclusive of even the people that everyone else was not. He was inclusive to the tax collectors, inclusive to the people that were I hate using the word prostitute, but that's probably the best word. He was inclusive to those that were sinners. He was inclusive to all of those people. He didn't care. He was there for everyone. He came and said, the well don't need a hospital, the sick do, right? I'm paraphrasing there, of course. That's the Jason version. The only heart that can receive such grace is a repentant heart. Repentance is a trading of your personal kingdom agenda, the kingdom agenda of Jesus Christ, and that's an agenda that includes all the spheres of your life. How you live, how you love, how you give, how you worship, how you behave sexually, how you speak, how you follow him as Lord. See, the problem of it is Jesus was both offensive, or he was offensive, he offended those that he of the Jewish faith because he included everyone, but then he also offended the Gentiles because he went to them and said, listen, how you're behaving sexually matters. How you're speaking matters. How you love your wife matters. How you love your husband matters. How you treat other people matters. And when he went into this whole list of things and he began to talk. That's the whole idea of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount was not that he began to share with the sermon message. He began to speak this message because he wants people to change. He doesn't want you to stay the same. He doesn't want you to be the same as you always have been. He called them to repent. He called them to turn away from their sin. But repentance is offensive. It means that we have to admit that we are wrong. We have to admit that we don't know everything. Yeah. Our egotistical minds. That's a Scrabble word, right? There we go. Egotistical. That's a double word letter, a double square letter, whatever that is. So, no, our egotistical mind calls us to do what? We have difficulty in dealing with this because our ego says, I'm not bad. I'm not a sinner. Sure, I may drop the F-bomb every once in a while. Sure, I may talk like a trucker. Sorry, Pat. I mean, sure, I may.
I'm offended.
Yeah. Sure, I may do these things, but it's really not that bad. I haven't killed anybody. See, the truth of the matter is that our agenda that's in our mind doesn't want us, our egos, our pride, our heart won't allow us to get to the place of saying, I'm a sinner and I need a savior. Or if we do, we say, I'm a sinner because I've done this, but don't ask me about these things over here. These are the protected areas. I'm not willing to go and say, listen, yeah, it was someone else's fault. They made me do it. Yeah, but you still sinned. And we never get to that place of actually dealing with our sin. And so we never get to the depths of the relationship that Jesus wants with us. When we repent, it's very difficult because we have to admit that we're wrong. Side note, if you're using scripture to condemn someone else, you're not reading scripture correctly. Wait a minute, Jay. Right here it says you shouldn't do this, right? You're a sinner because right here is what scripture says, right? If you're using scripture for that way, guess what? That's not the way it was intended to be used. Scripture was never intended to point out someone else's sin. In fact, Jesus says, check the log in your own eye before you try to remove the speck in someone else's eye. And so we have to learn to live with this. You know, we have to learn to follow. I love how I had a conversation with someone one time, and they said, isn't the Word of God a sword? And I said, yeah, it is a sword. Almost like the kids sound like they're using it over there, right? I said, no, it's a sword. And he's like, yeah, but why would Jesus call it a sword? You know, a sword kills people. It cuts people to the bone. I said, the sword was never intended to be used on someone else. It was intended to be used on you. That sword, the Word of God being called a sword was supposed to cut to the chase. It was supposed to cut you to the chase. It wasn't supposed to cut someone else. If you're using the Word of God as a sword to cut someone else up, guess what? You're not loving them in the way that Christ wants you to love them. And so therefore, you're using the sword in the wrong way. And you need to turn that blade around and drive it into you. That's difficult to hear, but it's the truth. Jesus' message is offensive. Matthew chapter 11, verse 6 says, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Jesus says in his own words, in the greatest sermon that was ever written, Jesus stands up and says, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. What Jesus is saying is that when you hear my words, when you read my scripture, when you read the words that I'm saying, when you learn about how to love me, when you don't become offended, what that means is that you're willing to admit that there's someone bigger, better, and badder than yourself. And you're willing to get down on your knees and say, Lord, that hurts, but I'll accept it because you are king. I am not. And I will not become offended at that message. Jesus, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 28 says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let them deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Wonderful, wonderful verses about the coming of Jesus, but we have to understand what he is calling us to do in these beginning verses is that if anyone is willing to pick up his cross and carry it daily. See, I believe the problem today that we have in Christianity is that we haven't been willing to pick up our cross and carry it. We want Jesus to carry our cross. We want Jesus to give us our salvation, but yet we're not willing to pick up our cross and carry it. We're not willing to lose our life. Are you willing to come to Jesus and say, listen, whatever I have is yours. I give it all up. Lord, I haven't been perfect. You know, the truth of the matter is that we're real good at giving Jesus the things that we know we've done wrong, but we don't want to give him everything. We just politely say, Lord, it's okay for me to give you this, so I will give you this. I'm okay with giving you my time on Sunday morning. I'm okay with maybe praying before I eat dinner. I'm okay with doing those things, but don't ask me to change those areas of my life. Don't ask me to change my viewing habits that I have and the movies I watch. Don't ask me to change the things I watch on my phone. Don't ask me to change my language. Don't ask me to change these types of things. See, we are willing to give up what we're willing to give up, but the rest of the things we're not because we hang on to them. Because they are offensive. It's offensive for us to be asked to give those things up. Jesus goes on to say, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Jesus knew that you cannot gain everything, but yet forfeit your soul. In order to have what Jesus was giving, you have to be willing to give everything up. Are you willing to actually give everything up? Because if not, then your life in Christ will never be complete. It isn't until you take everything that you have, you lay it on the cross and say, Lord, it is yours. I'm walking away. Listen. It's yours. Do with it as you wish. Your money, your family, your relationship, your kids, your church, your job. Are you willing to give all of those things up for Christ? I once heard someone say, the world is like the Jesus calls us to lay down our life. But are you willing to give everything up for that? If Jesus came to you and said, I need everything. I need your house. I need your job. I need your family. I need your money. I need everything. Are you willing to give it up for him? Do you trust him enough to say, it's yours, Lord. Take it. Not too many people are. The truth of the matter is that in the world we live in, I imagine today as I talked about the offense of Jesus, everyone was thinking, yeah, the Christian message is offensive. I mean, let's just watch the State of the Union address that we did this week, and there's so many offensive things in there I could talk about, and I could go in and we could bash the other side, the liberals or the whatever side you're on, and you could bash those, and you could say I'm political and all of these things, and I felt... See, the most offensive thing that I could tell you is that none of that really matters. It matters what you're doing inside your heart. You could be the most right politically that you ever have been, but if you're not following Jesus, you're in the most left position, the most wrong position that you've ever should be. Doesn't mean that we have to agree with them. Listen, I'm not telling you that you agree with them. But there's something that Jesus did that I just love. He has this offensive love about him. Jesus was offensive. Jesus was the one that would go to the water, to the woman at the well, and he would say, you're a prostitute, you've been sleeping, or you're not a prostitute, you get around. Maybe that's the more technical term to use today, right? That's what he said. He went to the woman at the well and said, you're right. The man that you're with is not your husband. In fact, the last five you've been with hasn't been your husband either. And he goes and he says all of these things and he speaks to this woman at the well, but then she returns and says, what does she do? She runs back to tell everyone, I met a man who told me everything about my life. And she was happy about it. Can you imagine for a moment? What if I walked into your household today and said, okay, listen, we got a problem. I need to point out everything that you've done wrong. I bet you before I even sat down on the couch, some of you would be kicking me out of the house. I won't speak for you. Maybe I'll speak for myself. I'm sure if you come into my house and begin to list all the things I do wrong, I'd be like, you can close down your mouth right now, right? You're getting flies in your mouth. Keep your mouth shut, right? Be like The Rock. I don't care what you have. No, I'm kidding. I watch too much wrestling, I guess, Chad. The truth of the matter is that we have to understand that Jesus was loving yet offensive. You know, Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to die on the cross for you. But just imagine something that costs something that is so expensive as the life and blood of Jesus Christ that died on the cross for you is worth so much that he's not just going to let that gift go unused. Think about it. If I bought you the most, if I took every last penny that I ever had in my whole entire life and I poured it all into this gift and I gave it to you and said, this is my whole entire life's earning. This is everything I have. Everything from my bank account, all my future earnings. I've taken everything I have. I've sold it all. I bought you this gift and I give it to you. What do I expect you to do? I expect you to use that gift. If you don't use that gift, guess what? I'm going to be really mad. Because I just spent everything I have, on that life, on that gift. See, the truth of the matter is that our life in Jesus is very much like that. He spent everything that he had, his whole entire life, everything, his body, his blood, his life, on a gift that he's given to us. What's really offensive is not what Jesus asks us to do. What's really offensive is that we turn our blind eye to him, and we don't use that gift that he's given to us. Today, the average Christian wants the love and salvation of Christian, but they don't want the challenge to grow. They don't want to prune off those branches that need to be pruned off and thrown into the fire. Jesus' love is the greatest love that you'll ever experience, but it should be the most challenging love that you ever experience too. If Jesus isn't challenging you to grow, then where are you at in your walk with him? Truth of the matter is Jesus wants you to grow. Jesus doesn't want you to stay the same. He wants you to pick up your cross and carry it daily. He wants you to humble yourself, to take deep breaths and move forward. But I want to ask you this question too. Are you willing to be offensive? See, the problem with our Christian faith today is that too many of us aren't willing to be offensive. And what I mean by that is I'm not asking you to go and listen, Jay, don't go and slap people in the face, okay? And then say, God loves you. Let me slap you a little harder, right? Here, come here. Ovo, come here. Let me slap you with a little word of God, right? Right? I don't want to do that. We're not going to do that to people. But we also can't shy away from it. The world around us is literally going to hell in a handbasket, using that saying. And we can't be blind to that. We have to, listen, God's message is going to be offensive to the people outside of Christianity. There's no way around it. When you go to someone who doesn't understand Christ and says, what you're doing is wrong, and you need the love of God in your life, that's hard to do. That's going to be offensive. R.C. Sproul, I love this statement that he makes. He says, do you realize how much like Caiaphas we are? We often make decisions out of fear. We don't want to be nonconformists. We don't want to have people think we're marching to a different drumbeat. We don't want to provide the hostility of the world, so we remain silent. Every time the gospel has been proclaimed boldly and accurately in church history, there has been persecution. Every time the church speaks out to confront ungodliness in the culture, there is a backlash. I have no desire to go looking for persecution and conflict, but the fact that I live so free of persecution makes me question my commitment to the things of God. I don't like conflict, but I hate to stand among the people like Caiaphas. Whew. Thanks, R.C. Appreciate that. Truth of the matter is that Caiaphas washed his hands of Jesus, right? If you remember the story of Jesus as he's being led to be hung on the cross, Jesus goes, I'm done. Or Caiaphas, I want nothing to do with this. I'm washing my hands of this. I'm done. And he walks away from this. Why? Because he didn't want to deal with the Jewish people. He didn't want to deal with an uprising. He didn't want to deal with the trouble that came with letting Jesus go. And so he washed his hands of this. See, today we have to learn to love like Jesus. But we also have to understand that it's going to be offensive. It's going to be offensive to people to go and say the way that you're living is not scriptural. But here's the thing. There's a difference in this word that I want to use today. My question to you today is that, what is today's Gentiles? Thursday morning we talked a little bit about this during our Bible study. So those that were there cannot sleep. You still have to listen, okay? But the truth of the matter is that what's Gentiles? Gentiles are those that don't follow the word of God. They're not religious. They're not Jewish. They become followers of Christ by someone sharing with them Christ. The Jewish people thought the Gentiles were dirty. They're gross, and they weren't chosen people. And so they stayed away from them. They didn't share the message of Christ with them. They didn't share the message that they had for them. They didn't go to them and say, you need Jesus or you need Christianity or you need God. They didn't speak that. They stayed away from them. They thought negatively of them. In fact, many Jewish people would change their route and take the long way around certain cities so they didn't have to go through cities that include Gentiles. What's that sound like today? To me, it sounds like we have a class of people in our world today that we are, in essence, calling Gentiles. Those that don't follow you or follow the things that you follow. Those that might have looked different, think different, act different. Do you love them enough to go to them and share with them? How about those that are politically different than you? How about those that embrace an alternative lifestyle? How about those that are quote-unquote transgender, of a different lifestyle, LGBTQ question mark, all of those, whatever alphabet soup that they put on after that? How about those that don't agree with you and your position in God? See, today, Jesus calls us to have empathy for their position, but not to agree with them on that position. One of the things that Jesus had was an empathy for people. When he saw someone struggling with something, he'd go up to them and he would share heartfelt empathy for that person, meaning he would share love to that person. But he also never wavered in the truth. He never went and said, what you're doing, Matthew as a tax collector, is right. He never went to Mary Magdalene as she poured the wine and said, oh, your lifestyle before this was okay. No, he never went to the woman at the well and said, he said opposite to the woman at the well, what you're doing is wrong. See, but Jesus had empathy for people. He knew that they were going to become offended at his message, and yet he still had empathy for them. Even to the point of dying on the cross, when he's on the cross and he's looking down and Roman soldiers are gambling for his own clothes, what does he say? He shows empathy and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, today we need to learn to be offensive like Jesus, but we also have to learn, more importantly, to be empathetic like Jesus is. To go into someone and say, listen, I love you, and because I love you, I don't want you to remain the same. To stand up and say, you're a sinner and what you're doing is wrong and you're going to die and go to hell. That's not going to win a lot of people to the church and it's not going to win a lot of people to Christ. Is it true? Absolutely, it's true. How are you going to win people to Christ? You're going to win people to Christ by being empathetic to them. Again, empathetic means not agreeing with them, but loving them for the person that they are. The same could be said for all of us in this room. If we were honest with each other, every single one of us could turn to the person sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you and say, yep, this is the sin I'm struggling with. If we were, and some of you may be really shocked to hear what that person around you is dealing with. Some of you would go, yep, I know that's exactly what Chad would say. Love you, Chad. See, I'm not condoning any of these things or any of the actions of people. But when we learn to be empathetic, the message, no matter how offensive it is, comes a lot further and goes a lot deeper than what it was before. When we learn to be empathetic like Jesus, when we learn to love like Jesus, when we learn to do those things, it's okay to be offensive. See, we can be offensive with the message of Christ because that's called the truth. You know, there's this wonderful thing, and there's always this battle, truth and grace, right? Truth and grace. Do I speak the truth or do I give grace? Do I forgive someone for what they're doing or do I speak the truth? No, the actual fact is that we should be both truth and grace. We should be empathetic and loving towards that person and share the truth. Because by not sharing the truth, by ignoring that, what you're doing is you're saying, it's okay for you to die and go to hell. But because you love that person so much, because you want to spend eternity with that person, then you do need to share with them. You do need to say, listen, what you're doing is, you know, let's talk about this for a moment. I love you, and I know you're struggling with this. Until we become empathetic like Jesus, the offensive message is very offensive. But when we become empathetic like Jesus, then the message becomes loving instead. Are you willing to come up and play? Since you're in here, come on up then. I thought we were going to play a video or something else, but okay. Come on up, Christy. The bottom line is this. If you're following Jesus, you're going to be offensive at some time. You're also going to be offended at some time, too. I'm going to say something from this pulpit, and it's probably going to offend you. And like I said earlier, I'm going to say, thank God. I don't fret when I offend someone. That sounds really weird. But from the pulpit. Do I mean to offend you? Do I mean to make you mad? No, I don't. But if it's convicting, if God is convicting you of something, then that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. But it's done out of love. It's done out of peace. It's done for you to have, to be called to change. See, I can understand a struggle that you're going through and your challenge and the challenges that you're going through because so am I. But at the end of the day, the love of Jesus is offensive. He's going to call you to change. He wants you to change because he doesn't want you to stay the same. and he wants you to be different. Will you stand with me, please? Jesus today is offensive. His message is convicting. His message is that message that cuts to the chase. Like R.C. Sproul, I don't want to be free of issues just because that means that if I'm walking this earth and people aren't getting upset with me, that means I'm probably not sharing the message of Christ in the right way. But also at the same time, I want to be so empathetic like Jesus that when I share this message, that I can love you and be at the heart and be at a heart level. Listen, we can go to people and say, listen, I've never struggled with loving or thinking I love a lifestyle other than my own. Never had interest in guys. Never have. I've always loved my wife. But at the same time, I can go to a person and say, listen, I struggle with other things, though. And your struggle, I'm sorry you struggle that way. And I know it has to be difficult. I know it has to be tough. But if we just get to the heart that God loves you and he doesn't want you to remain the same. Today you may be here and you may not be facing, maybe you're facing something else. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through, but God's calling you to change. He's calling every single one of you in this room to lay down your cross, or lay down your life, pick up your cross and carry it with him daily. What that means is that you have to humble yourself and you have to die to yourself. That's not fun. Dying to ourselves is not fun. It's not fun to ask the Lord to take away everything and to die to yourself. That's not good. That's not fun. But what's on the other side of that is so beautiful that it's so worth it. It's so amazing. So can we be truthful with ourselves and say, I need the offensive love of Jesus in my life. It's a weird prayer, but I've been praying this week. God, show me the areas of my life where I have become offended at your word because I haven't been following it correctly. Show me the areas of my life that I have been praying and I have been asking for that I need to let go of. It's not easy. It's not fun. Especially when he comes down and says, okay, listen, this is what you need to deal with. Yet, I know because God loves me, he doesn't want me to stay the same. And so I need to follow him. Can you do that today? Can you ask the Lord, what area of your life, where have you been offended at the message of Jesus? Who in your life have you been offended with that you need to go and you need to deal with? Who in your life or where in your life has Christ asked you to change and you just said, whoa, that's a little too much. I'll put that on the shelf for right now. I'll deal with that later. We all have those areas in our life if we're honest with each other. And we need to do that. We need to ask the Lord to lead us in that line, in that way. You cannot love and follow Jesus without being offended at his message, and also without being offensive to the people around you. Because if you're not offended or convicted, then you're not following him correctly. And if you're not offending or convicting others, then you're not doing the job that God called us to do. It's not truth and grace. It's truth and grace. And that's what God calls us to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your amazing grace and your amazing love towards us. Lord, help us to get off our high horses. Help us to let go of our pride. Help us to let go of all of these things that we have kept us from really living in you. Forgive us for being offended at your word and what you have asked us to do. Whether that be something simple as a relationship with someone else, or whether that's as simple as turning my cheek and letting someone else slap the other side, or whether that's lying, dying to myself, humbling myself, picking up my cross daily. Whether it comes in my money, it comes in my language, it comes in my relationships, it comes in my time spent, whatever it is, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for just being that place. Show us in the areas where we have become offended at your word. Open our eyes, Holy Spirit, to see in ourselves where Jesus has asked us to do something and we have denied or walked away. Maybe we haven't literally said we're offensive, but by the same way, in the same token, our actions have been showing that we were offended by what he's asked. And then, Lord, we ask you, as R.C. Sproul says, help us not to be like Caiaphas. Help us to share the message in truth and grace with those around us. To open eyes in empathy and love to your message. Not agreeing with their actions, but loving them instead, Father. Help us to walk in this path that you have called us to walk in. Help us to glorify you, because you deserve that and so much more. We praise you, we glorify you, we honor you, we ask you all these things in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Let's worship together. Honest with you, when I had in my mind that I was going to speak on the offensive nature of Jesus, what I had in my mind was I was going to get up and rail against the left side. I was going to say all of these things about how the culture is so bad and the direction that we're all going in and all of these things. And I just had in my mind all of these things of how that is offensive to the world around us. And I literally sat down and started writing out the sermon 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I think. And I'm writing it, and I began to look at it, and began to read it, and go, wow. And a couple nights ago, the Lord kind of tugged on my heart in the middle of the night and says, that's not the message I want you to preach. Is my message offensive? Is my words offensive to the people around? Yes. But what we have to be more concerned with is ourself. See, when we're so in love with Jesus, when you're so willing to lay down your life, then you're willing to be empathetic to those that may disgust you right now. If someone's lifestyle, if someone's walk, someone's action, someone's talk has disgusted you to the point that you don't want to share your message with them, that you don't want to share Christ with them, then can I tell you that you're not following the Christ in the way that you should be following Him? We have to learn to be empathetic. We have to learn to love. It would have been easy for me to stand up here and talk about all the things in this world that are wrong, because there's a lot of them, believe me. But as I began to listen to the Holy Spirit, as I began to listen to God as He spoke, He began to show me that we need to be concerned about our offended heart and not the others. Our actions and the way that we live our life will be offensive enough in their own if we're actually following Jesus. Do you understand it? Jesus, by just entering into the city, Jesus, by just going into places, became offensive to other people. Just by the mere Satan and his enemies were offended at Jesus everywhere he went. Just by the mere act, he did not even say a word. All he had to do was walk into a city. May I encourage you today to live your life in a way so close to God, so close to Jesus, so in love with Him that your actions are offensive to both the religious people and also the non-religious people. Because see, today, if we're following and loving Jesus, that's the way it's going to be. Jesus was here today, guess what? He'd be having dinner with everyone else that we say we shouldn't be having dinner with. He'd be going into places that you and I would probably go, I don't think I'm going there. He'd be meeting with those people and telling them in an empathetic way that He loves them and that they can't continue living their life the way they were living and the way that they are living their life. See, we need to learn to be empathetic and loving like Jesus. So can I encourage you today before you leave, just make sure that when you go down this path, when you're asking Jesus, what in my life have I held back? What in my life have I been offended that you've asked me to deal with? To give it up and to walk in that way, to love Him so much so that the people around you are going to question what you are doing. That's what God wants in our lives. It's what Jesus died on the cross for. He didn't die on the cross for us to yell and scream at people and say how sinful they are and how gross they are and all these other things. Is that true? Yes, that's true. But that's, guess what? That's true for all of us in this room too. He called us to stand on the truth and the grace and to be empathetic and loving to people and to share that message and to be offensive in that way. Father, we thank You for this day. We glorify You, we honor You, we praise You. We thank You that You've given us this opportunity to be before You today. I pray, Lord, today that as we leave this place, that we can love You so much so that we can be offensive to all of those people around us that don't know You. That we can love You in the way that You deserve to be loved, and that we can love people in the way that You would love them, Father. Lord Jesus, help us in everything that we do to follow You. You tell us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that He is the one, and if we accept Him, if we receive Him, that we can turn away from, and that we'll turn away from our sins, that we can have eternal life with You. And so, Lord, help us today to not just believe in our heart and our mind, but help us to receive You into our hearts and to turn away from our sins, to be offended at our sins and not offended at Jesus. So much so that we come running to You at the cross, laying everything down to give it to You. We glorify You, we honor You, praise You. We ask You, Lord, this week help us to walk this fine line of truth and grace in an empathetic way of loving people around us and to share the message of Christ with those all around us. We love You, we glorify You, and we give You the glory, the peace, and the honor in all things because You deserve that and so much more. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Hope to see you again next week.